All right, guys. We're really going to do this right now. It's What Up, Kev. That's the new name that we decided on. Welcome to the show. Isn't that cool music? People wanted new music, so I decided to go with that. I found it on the internet, and it sounded a lot like a Sonic and the Hedgehog level. So I decided to use it. I think it was Sonic 2. Just letting you know that. You don't care. So I'm going to move on. So anyways, this is the show. We're here. We're back. It's just me, as always, hence the title, What Up, Kev? Going to talk to you guys about a lot of stuff. We got a ton of questions. Actually, I'm really surprised. We got literally about 30 questions when I asked for them today. So through the newsletter and through Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff. So got a lot of questions. But we're only going to answer a couple of them because that's all we have time for. First, I want to quickly mention, I hope you guys have been checking out KevinLarrabee.com. There's some great, great stuff out there. I'm partially biased, but I think you guys are going to like it too. There's a great article up there on core progressions. Please check it out. Let me know what you think. Also, I've just more or less completed a new one on push-ups, which is going to be coming out probably on Monday. I have to shoot another video or two for it, but after that, we should be good to go. So anyways, I'm going to talk a little bit about myself for a second. Man, it's been a crazy week. It's been fun doing making tons of content for you guys. Obviously doing the FitCast, just finished up with a phone consult with one of my online clients. And man, it's always fun talking to clients online. Like it's very, we talked about this a little bit last week on the FitCast, or I guess this a couple days ago. I think you guys are going to hear this on Thursday, so we talked about it 4 days ago. But the online clients, man, it's so cool to get the enthusiasm, the excitement. Like, I was talking to, I don't think she'll mind if I drop her name, Erin. She's still at work at 8:30, still, you know, happy, excited to talk about training and nutrition. So that's really cool to hear, and I'm sure a lot of you out there who are listening to this are in the same, you know, you're in the same ballpark, in the same, you know, you have that same kind of mindset. So hopefully that's why you're listening to this today. But yeah, it's 9:30 right now, and we're recording this, and it's late. I'm a little beat. Haven't caffeinated in a while, since like 5:30, 6 o'clock. So kind of running out of gas, but I promise we're going to still give you a rock solid show. Now let me know what you think about that music. Do you like it? Do you not like it? Do you want something else? I can change it. So I think that's the first thing that I found online, to be honest, and I thought that sounded good and didn't want to look for a ton of music before I started recording this tonight. But anyways, I think we're going to get right into the questions, unless you guys have anything. Oh, wait, yeah, that's right. So the first question that we have comes from Danielle. She asks, do you know anything about the Insanity workout? I'm thinking of getting it, but I want to know if it's worth it. So, Danielle, the Insanity workout. It's if you guys live in America, you've probably seen this infomercial. It's a dude with his shirt off training a bunch of people in a workout class, and he seems to really be into it. It's for those looking at the program, it's $120 or a little bit more than that. It's 10 DVDs. It comes with an Insanity Fitness Guide, an Insanity Elite Nutrition, a wall calendar, so you can, why do they need a calendar? Man, at least give them a t-shirt or something, bro. But the workout itself, it's lots of body weight stuff. It's many of the things that you'll see. It's kind of like P90X. You can do it at home. You don't need to go to the gym to do it. You do need a couple pieces of equipment. Like, I think there's a med ball and some light dumbbells. And it's very much like P90X. Let's go down the quick list of DVDs that it comes with. The Dig Deeper and Fit Test. The Plyometric Cardio Circuit. The Cardio Power and Resistance DVD. The Cardio Recovery and Max Recovery DVD. Pure Cardio and Abs. Cardio Abs Those are two different ones, by the way. Core, cardio, and balance. That's another different one. So core cardio, core abs, and pure cardio and abs are three different DVDs. Number 8, max interval circuit. Number 9, max interval plyo. And number 10, max cardio conditioning and abs. Can you hear me scratching my head? Because in the DVDs, cardio, the word cardio, shows up in one. I'm counting interval as cardio too. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 out of the 10. Abs are in 1, 2, 3. Plyometrics are in 2. I don't know if I want people doing plyometrics at home without proper supervision. I don't think I do. But anyways, it's $130. Do I think you can do better? Heck yes. Go buy New Worlds of Lifting. It's $13. Check out Turbulence Training. There's bodyweight programs that come with Craig Ballantyne's Turbulence Training that are great. Alan Kosgrove also has a great bodyweight training program. New Worlds of Lifting for women. You know, there's tons of stuff out there. Rachel Cosgrove's new book is awesome. You can, I think, for $120, I think the question I would ask you is, you know, why are you buying this and not using something else? Is it because it looks interesting? Does it look fun? Do you have a friend that wants to do it with you that can split the cost? You know, if those are factors and that is, you know, important, then yeah. Might want to give it a look. I mean, I'm sure it has some kind of 30-day money-back return policy. Let's see. Okay, this is officially bull crap. It says you can burn 1,000 calories in each hour that you train with this stuff. No, guys. Oh, damn it, I was wrong. You get a free t-shirt, guys. If you send them your before and after pictures, they'll send you a crappy t-shirt. So, 30-day money back guarantee, 100% satisfied. But, of course, that's going to be a huge pain in the ass to get your refund back. So, I think it's Danielle. I apologize. I'm not sure. I don't know. I couldn't recommend it. I haven't checked it out myself, but from what it looks like, you know, the same dribble that they're spitting out onto TV of, you know, doing, it started with Tai Bo, you know, cardio kickboxing, cardio punching air. Not for me. I'm going to try not to yawn this week, guys. I'm going to try to. Next question comes from Chris. Program design for obese clients. How do you modify dynamic warm-up, strength training, metabolic conditioning, etc. for the obese population? That's from Chris. Chris, I'm going to throw in my guideline for obese population. Let's say 50 pounds, overweight, unconditioned, comes to me. They haven't trained in at least a year, probably even more than that. And, you know, a lot of times, like, if clients come to me like that, they will have not lifted a finger. Like, they might have done quote-unquote cardio. They might have gone on elliptical or walked on a treadmill, stuff like maybe done a spin class and then been so sore the day after they never wanted to go back, something like that. But for me, when I design programs for my obese clients or overweight clients, you know, let's be serious. A lot of the clients that are going to come to us are overweight. So let's say obese. It does say obese population at the end. Okay, so Chris, generally what I'll do is, you know, you'll see a lot of these clients come in and some might not even be able to foam roll. You got to keep that in mind. If you have a, you know, if you have a woman who's 5'5", you know, over 200 pounds, do you think she's going to be able to have a ton of fun foam rolling? I mean, she might feel really uncomfortable doing it. Like, I feel like I kind of understand, you know, the sense of being uncomfortable doing something when you're overweight, because I was once that guy. You know, back in the day in high school, I was a super fat kid, man. And I didn't necessarily feel comfortable doing lots of exercise. And I'd feel, you know, oh man, is my shirt going to get pulled up? Is, you know, are they going to be able to see, you know, my stomach? Like see my skin? Is skin going to show? Don't want that. So believe it or not, I actually keep that into consideration. I'm not a cold-hearted bastard. It's just like, no, you're going to do this. And you're going to do it because I told you to do it. That's not a way to keep clients. That's not a way to treat people. These people are human beings. They're coming to you for your help. And if you're going to treat them like crap, they're going to be like, screw you. Screw you. I don't need you. You're an asshole. I'm going to go do something else. By the way, this is uncensored. Watch out for the kids. So how do I modify stuff? For dynamic warm-ups, you see what they can do. You take them through that first assessment. Whether you're taking them through, you know, for a lot of these guys, you're not going to be able to functional movement screen them. It's really not practical. You're going to have to take them through, you know, perhaps your own little assessment yourself. Oh man, I yawned. Oh man, I apologize. I apologize for the yawning, guys. It's not professional. I'm just trying to do this when I have time. So, look at the assessment you're going to do for them. You know, maybe you see, are they going to be able to do walking lunges? No, they're not. Are they going to be able to do a bodyweight squat? Yeah, you can take a look. You can throw a box behind them, like a plyo box, and you can see how low they squat and how low they feel comfortable squatting. Can you have them do a plank? Hell yes, you can have them do a plank. See how long they can hold a plank. You know, that's an assessment. Anything you have them do is going to be an assessment. So take a look at that. So, and again, same thing with push-ups, et cetera, et cetera. But when you get into the dynamic warm-ups, yeah, that's going to be tricky, like, especially with the lower body work. It's going to be tough. If they're untrained, they're overweight, you know, they're not going to be able to do butt kick pullbacks. They're not going to be able to do knee hugs necessarily. They're not going to be able to do the, you know, walking lunges or overhead squats or toe touch squats to stands or any of that stuff. They're not going to be able to. You got to be realistic. You know, so what do you do? To be honest, I had a client who I would just say, get here 10 minutes early and jump on the elliptical. I did that, you know, recently as a trainer last year. Because you couldn't, you know, at her weight, there was really nothing I could do in terms of like a major lower body dynamic warm-up. When she then came to me after she did her elliptical work for 10 minutes or so, just to get warmed up, I would have her do upper body mobility, scap wall sides, reach wall and lift. I'd have her do thoracic mobility work because she was at a desk all day. I could have her do that. You know, that's something we can still do. I would even have her do some hip mobility work, like some kneeling rock backs. Like, you can do that. Like, it's not impractical. And I would eventually start throwing in some things. Like, I would have her do a hip flexor quad stretch on the ground by having her put one knee on the ground, obviously one foot in front of her. And I would actually elevate that foot of the knee that's down on a box, or I throw like a medicine ball under it so she can also get that quad stretch as well. And see, that you just got to kind of take small steps. Ankle mobility, yeah, they can do that. Definitely do that. You just really, this is going to be a new podcast called It Depends. But yeah, it depends. It depends on that client. It depends how overweight they are. You know, you might have them warm up by walking on a treadmill. It could be doing some band work. You know, you just got to keep that in mind. And you use the bands as a warm. Just get the muscles warmed up. Focus on the mobility when you can and when it's practical. And in terms of strength training, metabolic conditioning, strength training, what can't they physically do? Can they do push-ups? Probably not. Can they do dumbbell presses? Yes, they can. Is this a contradiction to an article I'm going to be putting up in a couple days? Yep. It is. I say no one should, you know, I say everyone should start by doing push-up, but not this person. If they can't do a push-up, what the hell is the point? You just say, oh yeah, just do crappy push-ups. Just do horrible push-ups. No, you get them on a bench. You have them do dumbbell presses. You have them do incline dumbbell presses, alternating dumbbell presses. You have lots of variations there. And you go from there, you know. Rowing should be fine. Shoulder pressing, do they need it? Probably not. I'd probably stay away from that. Lower body work, start them by box squatting. Maybe you don't even go fully to parallel. I mean, you don't have to. Are they still going to get their butt kicked by doing a three-quarter squat? Yeah, they probably will. You know, are you going to be able to do deadlifts? Nope. Can you do dumbbell deadlifts? Yeah, you can. You can. You can do pull-throughs. You can do X-band walks. You can do band pull-aparts. You can do tons, like I said, tons of row variations. Like, you give them work to do, they're going to get something out of it. Keep that in mind. Man, I'm going to pause for a second. Let me take a sip of water. Talk amongst yourselves. I give you a topic. Grape nuts are neither grape nor nuts to discuss. That's a Saturday Night Live reference, by the way. All right, still got my voice. Here we go. Next question that we have comes from Kerry. Hey, Kev. That's the name of the podcast. I was running what you recommended for post-workout nutrition after a, quote, metabolic workout. I've always have something to eat about an hour before any workout. And after my strength workouts, I have a shake of protein and some fruit, or I have chocolate milk. But I don't know, or I didn't know, if I should just have protein after a metabolic workout, or I should still have some simple carbs in there, or does it just depend on how long and intense your workout? What if I do a very intense 10-minute workout? Thanks, Kerry. All right, Kerry, let's talk about metabolic training and post-workout nutrition. Personally, if I have a client come in on their off day and do maybe some intervals on the bike, post-workout nutrition of like a post-workout shake, like you mentioned, chocolate milk. No, I won't have them do anything like that. I really won't have them do anything different. I will usually just have them be like, all right, have your next scheduled meal when you're scheduled to do it. Again, it depends. Like, what's this metabolic workout? Are we talking about just doing some intervals on the bike? Are we talking about doing a bodyweight circuit that lasts 30 minutes? Are we talking like a TRX circuit or a kettlebell circuit? You know, you kind of have to gauge it on your own. You kind of have to see how much you're doing. I'd say if you're spending more than 30 minutes doing resistance training, and that resistance training includes bodyweight stuff, it includes burpees, it includes mountain climbers, it includes pushing a sled, it includes, you know, anything but just walking up a treadmill or, you know, doing some light bike riding, some light elliptical work, doing just mobility work, then I would say if it's, again, 30 minutes, that's just roughly, yeah, you know, maybe have a piece of fruit and a protein shake if that's something you want to do for convenience. You can do that. Have an apple and a protein shake if you want to, you know, say, oh, man, I earned some extra carbs or some sugars if you're sugar phobic. Yeah, you can justify it. Do it. You know, does it still fit in your calorie requirements for the day? There's nothing wrong with that. It's something you need to do. No, I don't think it's a requirement. I mean, it depends on the workout. So just kind of play it by ear and see how your body reacts to it. If you feel horrible after it, yeah, you're probably going to need something right after. But if you feel good, you feel good for an hour, and then you leave work at 5 after you had a snack at 4 o'clock and get to the gym at 5:30, you do your metabolic training, and then you can get home 6:30 and just have your regular meal. Yeah, just do that. Next question that we have comes from Samuel. What up, Kev? I have a question for you about bicep work. I know that I shouldn't worry about my arms before getting strong first. I bench 185 pounds for my one rep max. But let's be real, the summer is coming soon, and when the sun's out, the gun's out. Yes, that's very true, Samuel. What can I do to accelerate my bicep growth? Let me know and I can send a picture to show you where I am at. Thanks for answering my question. Love the Fitcast and your new blog. Thanks, Sam. So, you don't have to send me a picture. I think this is a justifiable question. We're talking about looking good naked. I mean, or in this case, looking good with our shirt off at the beach or whatnot. Bicep work isn't the devil, guys. Is it something you should go in, you just started lifting? Is it something you should go in and do some 8 different bicep curl variations for an hour and a half? No, you shouldn't do that. But Samuel, I wish you told me what you're doing for a current lifting program, but I'll give you 2 different options. Let's say it's a full body workout. You're doing full body 3 days a week. Let's talk about that. So if you're doing full body 3 days a week, if you want to throw in some arms at the end of the workout, say you do deadlift, you start off with a deadlift, you do some deadlift, you superset it with a core exercise, and then push-ups and some kind of row, and then you finish off with single-legged squats and, just for the heck of it, another core exercise. After those, after you get your homework done or your work done, the real meat and potatoes, if you have an extra 5-10 minutes, can you throw on some biceps and triceps? Why not? Why the heck not? Especially if you're eating for it. I mean, if you're trying to put on weight, yeah, why not? I really think that it can be helpful. And if you think about it, they're really assistance exercises, okay? You're talking about tricep work, which is going to help assist in your bench press, and also bicep work, which, yeah, it's going to play a role in those pull-ups. It will. So I don't think it's harmful at all. And now if you're doing an upper body, lower body split, yeah, just throw them at the end of that upper body workout if you have time. Don't prioritize it. Throw it in the end after you do your pull-ups, you do your benching, you do your rowing, maybe you do some shoulder pressing. After that, sure, throw them in if you got some time. But don't cut out the meat and potatoes, the big bang for your buck, unless you really have the time for it. And like I mentioned, pull-ups. Pull-ups are going to be huge for increasing your bicep growth. Change it up. Don't just do chin-ups. Do pronated actual pull-ups. Do pronated pull-ups. I love, 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 love towel pull-ups. Towel pull-ups are fantastic. Do them. They're really good. If you check out, I wrote an article for T-Nation about, I think it was like injecting testosterone into your gym, into your health club. Check it out there. I talk about towel pull-ups and grip strength and neuromuscular activity. I don't think I got in that in depth like that, but it's a great exercise. So hopefully, if you feel free, send in a follow-up. Let me know what you're doing and we can hit on that a little bit more. Next question is from Stefan. I think I got that right. Hey, Kevin. Hopefully, I find you doing good. I love all caps the Fitcast. I have a question to ask. I'm sure you probably get asked this all the time, but is building muscle and weight loss attainable at the same time, or is it just a myth? A friend of mine said it isn't possible. Now I am at a calorie deficit, only taking in 1,400 to 1,500 calories a day, but I'm also lifting weights. Will I get anywhere in the muscle gaining department, or am I wasting my time? Thanks, Kevin. Love the show. Keep it up. P.S. Hope this wasn't too repetitious for you. Yeah, we get that question a lot, but it's a good question. I like it. It's debatable. We can have a debate about it. I don't know who's going to play good cop, bad cop. I'll be both. So good cop, studies have shown that, yes, you can build muscle and lose body fat at the same time. To be fair, those were generally done in obese populations and untrained individuals. So I don't give too much, I don't put too much stock into those. But man, Stefan, 1,400, 1,500 calories a day? That's not a lot. That's not a lot at all. That's like what I'm eating on my non-training days. And I'm like doing vicious, aggressive fat loss right now. Like teetering on the edge of what I should be doing. And you're getting that in a day? So, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. You might get strong. You might put on a little muscle. A little bit. If your workout training is... workout nutrition is really good. If you're getting in like a third of your calories during and after training, maybe. I don't know. I don't think so. I'm trying to rationalize it, but I don't think it's going to happen. It depends on your training age, how long you've been training. You know, do you have a lot of weight to lose? What's your training look like? What are you doing for training? I'm going to have to lean on the side of no. I'm going to have to be bad cop. You can't put a lot of muscle on eating so few calories unless you are already very light or not very tall. So please shoot me another question. Shoot me a follow-up. Let me know. We'll go into a little bit more detail and we'll go a little bit more in-depth on that. All right, a couple more questions. How are we doing on time here? 26 minutes, man, we're getting close. So, next question comes from Derek. Kevin, help me out here. Simple question, not sure the answer is as simple. I'm pretty sure my body fat is in range where my abs should be showing. Right now, if you look at the right angle and squint and cross your eyes slightly, you can make out my four pack. I'm assuming I just don't have the muscle to show anymore. Right now, I do daily planks for 90 seconds in side planks, 6 seconds each side. I think he means 60 seconds each side. 6 seconds seems pretty short. 7 days a week. I really want to get these abs popping for summertime. Is there a more effective way to target these suckers? My diet is dialed in at 2,600 calories per day. All clean foods, 250 grams of protein, carbs under 200 grams. Hit the gym 4 days a week for weight training, cardio the other 3. Other than the morning planks, I do no direct ab work. Thanks in advance for the help, Derek. I'm going to take a quick sip of water. So, I think Derek answered his own question by asking the question. First, Derek, you're doing a lot of planks, bro. A lot. Do you need to do that many? Probably not. I don't think so. You should still do them, but I'm guessing, what is that, like one set for 90 seconds and then one set of side planks each side, and you do it every day during the week. You also mentioned that you are training 7 days a week. That's a lot. You got to take a day off. I would cut that, take one of those cardio days and just knock it out the window. If you want, move one of those cardio sessions at the end of a weight training session. Just give your body a full day to recover. Now, this is going to get me in a little bit of controversy here. Because you know what I would tell you to do, Eric? I would tell you to do crunches. Not necessarily crunches. Let's talk about just ab flexion or trunk flexion. That's what you should be doing. Cable-resisted crunches. You could be doing dragonflies. Like those are really cool. I mean, that's not a very descriptive name, but you can find it on YouTube. Maybe I'll throw a link for it if I think about it. Doing things like rollouts. Doing things that actually... I mean, the problem here, Derek, is that you answered your own question. You don't have mass on your abs. You need that mass if you want them to pop out. I mean, you can be like 11-12% body fat, but if those abs are just got some hypertrophy to them, they got some meat to them, then they're going to pop out anyways. So what I would do is do some like decline bench crunches, not a lot. but you can do them. You can do cable crunches where you have a cable behind you and you kind of like use a rope. You have that cable behind you and you're got the cable up at a high setting and you're on the ground, your knees are on the ground, and you're just literally, you have to throw everything out the window. You have to round the crap out of that back. You got to try to bring those elbows to your hips. You got to get just pure trunk flexion. You have to. Like, that's the way you're going to do it. I'm all for core training. I'm all for, you know, nice straight line. Have a arch in your back. Don't want to promote any kind of flexion at the lumbar spine. But sorry, you got to do it. If you want to, I'm guessing you're a healthy individual. You don't have any back problems. It shouldn't be a problem. Do it. I mean, it's just facts. I mean, you have to. You don't have to, but if you want it to, Derek, that's what's going to have to happen. We can talk about this again in the future. See, I like talking to you guys. I want to talk to you some more. All right, how are we doing on time? Can I fit in another one? All right, we're at 31 minutes. Let's see. All right, we'll make this the last one and then wrap it up. Okay, the last one that we're going to take is from one of the Fitcast accountability bloggers. Man, I was thinking an acronym. Like, how do we shorten that? Do we call it FAB? I don't like that. No, I don't think we're going to do that. But anyways, Larry from the Fitcast accountability blog sent in a question. Any thoughts on some of the fasting programs presently being offered, i.e. Eat Stop Eat, for rapid weight loss? The reasoning or the logic behind the fasting programs isn't bad. It's solid. I've read Eat Stop Eat from Brad, and it makes sense. Like, if you can do it psychologically, and that's the problem. People, everybody's different. I mean, there's camps where if you tell someone to not eat for almost a day, they're going to freak out. And then when they get to eat, they're going to binge like crazy. I mean, this is why we have that problem, you know, why people who skip breakfast or, you know, skip lunch and then they get home for dinner and they eat forever. Like, that's, they snack. Like, that's a problem. I'm not a big fan just because I would never recommend them to someone because I just don't think it's something realistic to follow. And it might be me being ignorant. It might just be me personally. And I know some people have had success with it, but I don't know. It just, psychologically, I just don't think people should fast for fat loss. You can spread your meals out throughout the day. You know, yeah, you're not going to get the hormonal response from the fasting. And that's one of the reasons why they do it. They do it to partially to mess around with leptin a little bit, but I'm not a huge fan personally. Is it something you can do? Yeah, you can do it. I mean, it's a decent program, and it's not good. It's going to help you lose weight, you know? So that's that. All right, we're wrapping it up. We're at 34 minutes or so. So that's it. Please, everyone, I thank you so much for listening to me babble for 40 minutes and sending in questions. I'll try to get to the questions that we didn't answer this week, next week, and see what we can do. So I'm going to wrap it up. Please don't forget to check out thefitcast.com. Check out kevinlarrabee.com. I'm blogging up there a lot, guys. A lot of stuff. And please submit some comments. And I was thinking on the car ride over to work the last couple of days, you know, should I do this? Should I offer some kind of incentive to posting a comment to help spark some discussion? I think I will. Okay, this is what we're going to do. U.S. listeners only. All right, but I want international listeners to do this too, but screw it. Both international and U.S. listeners. Everyone's in on this. All right, for one of my commenters, by next week's podcast, I'm going to give away a free t-shirt. your choice of size and color, free shipping to wherever you are, whether it be in the United States, Canada, the UK, Australia, as long as it's inside our solar system, and the United States Postal Service will get it to you. Or I guess as we learned this past week on the Fitcast, we'll send it, you know, give it to someone to then give to you, or, you know, a third party or something like that. We'll do that. So just comment. And this is for KevinLarber.com and TheFitCast.com. Comment, you know, go to the FitCast accountability blog and show your support. Give some support to my client Kim, who's trying to lose weight for her wedding. Like, she's kicking ass. I just saw her tonight. She is knocking it out, guys. Like, she is just... I'm so proud of her right now. She's just locked in. It's been 2 weeks, and she is doing fantastic. She's going to look rocking for her wedding. She's going to meet her goal pretty easily, and I'm proud of her for that. She's locked in with the nutrition and in the training, and it just shows, you know, if you put your mind to it, you can accomplish anything. And, you know, that's the second time I've used that in about 4 days, so that's where we're gonna wrap it up. Thanks everyone for listening. Let me know what you think of the music. Sir, submit reviews on iTunes, even though this is an iTunes feed for the Fitcast. You can still submit more reviews, and go to KevinLarber.com. Blog updates, online personal training stuff is all over there. Tons of great content. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week.